I'm thankful tonight. He promised that He'd never leave us or forsake us. We can hold to His hand tonight. And I know that even when my strength fails, He's holding to my hand. Amen. When I couldn't hold on, He was holding on to me. I'm thankful about that tonight. We appreciate the grace of God, the opportunity to be here and see each again. And we count it a privilege and a blessing to be here. If you want to turn your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 21, and just so many things I could say. I feel like I could go on all night, but I'm not desiring to do that. But just the more I think about the grace of God and the testimonies of our Lord Jesus Christ, I couldn't tell at all. Amen. I believe the world couldn't contain the books of it. Amen. And that's just in my life. We just appreciate His goodness to us. I hope you feel the same way in your own lives tonight. We'll try not to prolong the time for the sake of, being not one to talk a lot, but just we want to not talk so much, but say something meaningful. And so many people talk a whole lot, but they don't say very much, and we don't want to be that way. So we just want to give the Lord His way here. Isaiah chapter 21, we'll be reading the 11th and 12th verses tonight. And it says this, it says, the burden of Dumas, He called to me out of Seir. He says this, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye. And He says, return, come. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight, Lord, for Your word which has been read. Lord, there's been many attempts throughout history to take this word and to destroy it, to hide it, to alter it or change it in some way. But Lord, You've preserved Your word. You've spoken it. And You've preserved it. If heavens and earth would pass away, Your word would by no means pass away. The scripture cannot be broken. We're thankful for these words that were preserved for us tonight, Lord. Not just for the saints of old, but for us gathered here tonight, Lord. You purposed a people in the end time, and that they would be able to look and to see. And Lord, not just to read the words on a page, but that You would give Your spirit that we might have understanding. Bless us tonight, I pray, O God, by the unction of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't gather together tonight to have a lodge meeting or to be seen of men, Father. We know those things are vain, Lord God. They don't mean anything. And in the day of judgment, they'll burn up as a stubble or hay. They mean nothing before You. But Father, tonight, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a life given to You that we might present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service to You tonight, O God. Help us to present ourselves, Lord. We come now, Lord. We lift up our hands. We lift up our voices, our hearts, our souls to You. Lord, have Your way in our lives and have preeminence in us and each one tonight, we pray. Lord, we give You all the glory and honor for it. We thank You for what You've done and what You're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I've said it before, but I really appreciate the temperature in this church. When you preach a lot, you get warm. And Brother James is always so faithful to remember that the Lord visited in the cool of the evening in the garden. And so somebody's got a revelation there. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. We'd like to speak out of this text tonight for just a little bit here on Watchmen, What of the Night? And Brother Bram, of course, he preaches this same thought, Watchmen, What of the Night? He takes the same text several different times, and I was studying this here recently, and I looked at this, and the reason it kind of struck my attention is to think about what a watchman was and the importance of a watchman, especially not just in ancient times, but even now we have sentries and guards and things, but a watchman in ancient times, how important and vital his job was. And we see this scripture, and there's lots of people that identify themselves as a watchman. You have different people, different ministers. I had a man come to me one time and say that the Lord had appointed him to be a watchman. I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to argue with the guy. I don't know. I'm not saying either way. But I began to look at this, and many people make claims of being a watchman or make claims about what a watchman is. And I want to look tonight for just a few moments on what the Bible and what the prophet said, what a watchman really is. Amen. And so to kind of start off, we want to look at the qualifications of what a watchman did. He was a guy, and he sat up in a tower or something. He was usually at the highest point. Amen. He was there's three things in particular in studying this that I wanted to look at. And the first thing tonight is that the watchman was trained for his job. Amen. And what I mean by that is that not anybody could be a watchman. Amen. You couldn't appoint yourself to be a watchman or or make yourself something, amen. The man, to be a watchman, he had to have a special kind of training, amen. Brother Branham said that he was a kind of man, he could look at the stars in heaven, and he could tell you, because look, the sundial didn't work, amen. They didn't have the digital alarm clock or the iPhone, they couldn't pick it up like I could, say, oh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why am I awake in the middle of the night? This is horrible, amen. If you woke up in the middle of the night, the sundial wasn't working, didn't have a clock, how did you find out what time it was? You called up and you inquired. When you say, watchman, what of the night? In other words, it's a call. You're asking, what time is it? What hour am I in? Because of the darkness, because of the lack of sunlight, I don't know what hour I'm in. But there was a man that was taught how to look at the heavenly bodies, how to look at the placement of stars, and he could tell you what hour you were in when you had no idea. And so people that when maybe they were sleeping, amen, they were sleeping, when they would awaken out of their sleep, they had no idea what time it was, but there was a man that was trained to tell you, this is what time it is, amen? And so God would take a special kind of man, and they would have him, amen? And the second thing is, as I was saying, he was appointed for the job, amen? This man, he was trained this way in particular. Now, you got a guy, let's say he's blind or something, or maybe he's got bad eyesight, you couldn't have him be the watchman, amen? It wasn't because you were trying to be mean to the guy or trying to say anything about him. He had to have a special kind of vision, amen? He had to have a special kind of ability to stay up all night when everybody else was falling asleep from the weariness of the day and the weariness of their natural lives. There was a man, they could place him in a special place, and he didn't choose himself for the job, but he was appointed for the job by the city elders or the ruler, whatever it is. And this man, he was appointed, he was placed at a vantage point, amen? Yes, sir. Above everything else, he had to be above the walls of the city, he had to be above where all the politicians were, where all the nonsense was going on, and all the chaos, and all the dirt, and all the roads. He was above all those things. He was placed somewhere very high, and he was placed there because it was necessary that he could see what was going on, amen? And so he had to have a special kind of vantage point. He had to have a special kind of training, a special appointment. He had to have a special kind of vision, amen? And now it was important because he was looking for... Now, this is the thing. The watchman wasn't there to entertain you. Amen? The watchman wasn't going to say, wake you up in the middle of the night and say, hey, you're doing a good job. Way to plant those crops. Way to till that farm. That wasn't his job. He wasn't there to make you feel good. His job was to warn you about impending disaster. His job was to warn you about an enemy that was going to come in when you were completely unaware. Amen. When you were asleep at night, and particularly, I didn't realize this, but this made sense to me. I was studying this. The watchmen in ancient Israel in particular, their job was especially important during the harvest time. Amen. Because, look, they didn't have to come in and raid the city to kill you. All they had to do was go out and burn your crops. Amen. And so at the harvest time in particular, these people, they're not like some of these preachers nowadays. They weren't farming a harvest to make money. They weren't doing it to be popular or have a big old house or big old barn. They were farming because that was what they were going to live off at that winter. Amen. They were depending on the harvest for their life. And so God, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. God set a watchman as well. God has set watchmen in the Bible over his harvest, over his people, just like the natural man does what? To preserve their lives. Amen. And so the watchman's job is not a fun job, maybe, or a glorious job. And I love Brother Ramsey when he talks about the watchman. You see this attitude in the Bible as well. So many people, they hear the watchman, and maybe they were up having a party, or maybe they were carousing or carrying on sin. And people would hear the watchman say, there's danger coming, there's an enemy coming in. And at that time, when you heard the watchman say that, you had to rise up and arm yourself. Amen. It wasn't the time to flee the city. It wasn't the time to get scared. That was the time to fight. Amen. The watchman said, an enemy's coming in. Let's rise up. Let's go out and meet the enemy. Amen. And he dramatizes a little bit. I love it. He says they're, maybe they're drinking or something. Said, oh, that old watchman, he's said that for years. He's just always trying to get us scared. He's just trying to be somebody. Amen. And if they weren't careful, they wouldn't listen to the voice of the watchman because they had something better going on. Amen. They were too busy carrying on about something or wanting to have fun, wanting to have entertainment. And the seriousness of the hour and the disaster that was looming over them, they took it for granted. Amen. And so this man, he had a job, and the Bible says he was given a trumpet. And it's a shofar. How many knows what a shofar is? They make it out of a ram's horn. It's not a trumpet like you see in the band with the keys on it and this and that. Amen. A shofar, it's a special kind of horn, amen. And when you look in the scripture, it talks about, if you look in the Hebrew, it translates it as shofar, amen. They had trumpets that you could play as an instrument back then, but the shofar is different. It was used for two purposes primarily. It was used, God instituted it in the Levitical law. The priests were given shofars to proclaim the day, like for instance, the year of Jubilee. A shofar blew when you heard, and it's a very distinct sound, amen. When you hear the shofar, and this is why they were given a shofar, it has a very distinct sound. When you hear it make a certain kind of noise, you know it's not just somebody playing music. You know this is either, this is something very important. It's a very serious matter, amen? And this is why Paul, and you read the book of 1 Corinthians 14, that's why he says if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, how shall they prepare for the battle? Amen? And so the trumpet, it has to have a distinction of noise. There's a distinct sound. Amen? And what is the purpose? To prepare for battle. Amen? Sure. Brother Bram tells us that in the church ages, is that right? I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but when an age opens up, he says the trumpet's blown. Is that right? And what does it do? It declares a scriptural war. Amen? And so the shofar is used to celebrate the Jubilee and the new year, but it's also used to declare war. Amen? Now, when you look in the book of Joshua, for example, and you read about the story where they marched around the walls of Jericho. They marched around Jericho for 6 days. They went around it once in silence, but on the seventh day, amen, they go around it seven times, and then at the end they let out a shout, amen. They have a shout, and it's the priests, amen. Now, I want you to notice who has the shofar. The priests blow the shofar, and when they do that, the walls of Jericho fall. Is that right? And so the shofar is a very sacred kind of instrument. It's not just for anybody to handle, but it's for an appointed type of people. And so this watchman, he was an appointed man. He was given a shofar to protect the people from danger. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, we look at this, and that's why the Apostle Paul, when he says this about the trumpet being blown, how can they prepare for the battle? He says, so likewise, if ye utter words that are hard to be understood, he says, how shall they understand what's spoken? So I want you to understand that Paul, and he's taking this from the Bible now, because the Bible does this all through the Bible, through the law. He's taking the idea of a shofar or a trumpet blowing, and he's attaching it to the speaking of words. Amen? Amen? He's attaching it to the speaking of words here. The prophet Isaiah is told, and hopefully we're familiar with the scripture, but he was told by God, amen? He was a watchman, is that right? We read this at the beginning. Isaiah was a watchman, and he was told by God to cry aloud and to spare not, to lift up his voice like a trumpet. So the trumpet that God is using, it's not a natural shofar, but he takes an instrument. Amen. He takes an instrument of righteousness. He takes a man surrendered to God, and he'll take his natural voice and he'll use it as he would a shofar. Is that right? He'll use a man's voice to proclaim the year of Jubilee. He'll use a man's voice to preach the gospel, to preach the acceptable year. He'll use a man's voice to indict this generation. Is that right? God will use a man that he's taken in his service, and he has an appointed watchman. Now watch again. You can't appoint yourself a watchman. This isn't something you just went to school. I hope they make me a watchman one day. I hope they pick me. He'll pick me. I want to be a watchman. But that man is groomed and trained. He's appointed and he's chosen for that purpose. Amen. And he's got a certain ability in his life to see a certain way that nobody else can see. Is that right? And so God, when he chooses a watchman. The Bible shows us another man by the name of Ezekiel, and God calls him a watchman. If you have your Bibles here, I'll read it to you. In Ezekiel 33. I hope this is all right so far tonight. Kind of trying to lay a bit of a foundation here. Amen. Ezekiel 33, verse 1, I'll read down here to verse 9. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts. Now watch, they're taking a man, and they set him for their watchman. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, the shofar, and warn the people, he says, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. Amen. He heard the. He said, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul, he says. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Amen? So in other words, he had a very sacred duty. Is that right? A trust was committed to him because he was being entrusted not just with protecting a vault somewhere or protecting something precious. He was protecting the very lives of the people that had appointed him. Amen? And so his duty was very sacred. It was a very a penultimate trust given unto him. Amen. And it says here in verse 7, so thou, O son of man, he says, I have set thee. Now watch, you set him up. I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Thou therefore shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Amen. So he's going to hear from God. And when he hears from God, he's going to turn around and warn the people like a trumpet. And the people that hear, it's going to spare their lives. Is that right? Now, you don't have to turn there, but he makes the same statement to Ezekiel in the third chapter of Ezekiel. He'd seen the wheel within the wheel. He'd seen the four cherubim. He'd seen these things. And in the third chapter of Ezekiel, he gets caught up again. He sees these things, kind of like what John sees in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. He sees all these things. He hears the noise of the throne room. And then it says the Spirit carried him to a people that were in captivity. There were people of Israel that were in captivity. And he said, and he sat and he abided there 7 days, it said. And at the end of 7 days, Ezekiel, he rises up. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me at the end of 7 days. It said, son of man, I've made thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore, now watch, therefore, he says the same thing. Hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Amen. Now, God has had pastors, God's had people and judges and things like that, but when we talk about a watchman, look, the Bible tells us to watch and be sober, is that right?
That's right.
We have a responsibility to be watchful over our homes, we have a responsibility to be watchful over our families, that's all true, but that doesn't make me a watchman, amen? I look at the grace of God in my life and what God has done. Amen. But that doesn't make me a watchman. I can't make myself that. If I say, well, God has made me a watchman. What is a watchman? What I want you to understand tonight is it's a prophet. Amen. And why I say this is because in each example he uses here, he says, if you hear the word of my mouth, you'll turn around and speak that. Amen. It's a man with a certain kind of gift. He's got a special kind of vision. Amen. He's got an open vision for the word. And God can show him something that nobody else can see. And he can see disaster afar off. Is that right? And before anybody else can see it, he can lift up his voice and warn the people. Is that right? Brother Branham makes a statement here. In the sermon Expectation 1954, he's talking about the time of Jesus. When Jesus was born, a certain star appeared. Amen? And you know that star led several men from the east for the course of 2 years. It led them to the place where Jesus was at. And he says this, and he's talking about the watchman here. He says, every city had a little observatory on top of it back then. He says, they kept the watchman up there, and he told time by the stars. He said, in the daytime, they told time by the sundial. He said, you know what time? Watchman on the tower. And they asked for the time, amen? And so they kept time, and yet he says, here it is. I want you to get it. He said, that star, it passed over every one of those cities, amen? So that star, when it appeared in the heavens, it passed over all those natural cities. He says it passed over those cities, and not one of those men saw it. But our Bible declares that it had been done. Is that right? He says, I believe it. We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Is that right? And they moved, led by this star moving. Now watch, men had appointed watchmen. And these men had studied stars for years. This was their livelihood. They were great, maybe theologians, amen? They were great astronomers, and they'd studied the stars, but there was a certain star that was ordained to appear, and it moved, amen? And it led a people for 2 years, amen? Look, it didn't just show up in one night. For 2 years, this star led some men from the east. Now they'd known about this. How? Balaam. Balaam had prophesied that there was a star that was going to rise. Is that right? He said, and a scepter would arise out of Shiloh. And the prophet Daniel, here's another watchman. He knowing what the word of God said, him knowing the word of prophecy, him being the master of magicians, the prophet tells us he taught those men in the east. And these men in the east, amen, these weren't orthodox Jews, amen. These weren't learned men as far as the Torah or something like that. But yet they believed the word of the prophet Daniel. Amen. They believed the word of the watchman. The watchman says a certain star is going to appear at a certain time. And when that appears, if you follow it, it'll lead you to Messiah. There's a certain star that's going to arise at a certain hour. Amen. There's a certain sign in the heaven that's going to appear. And when that star rises, it'll lead you to the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Then all them trained men, all those trained watchmen, they had no idea for the space of 2 years. Now, I want you to think about the confidence these magi, these wise men had in what the prophet Daniel said. Look, they set out, and they didn't just fall for a couple days and say, well, maybe we're going the wrong way. Maybe we're getting worked up. But for the space of 2 years, they followed it, amen? They followed it clear to Jerusalem, where it didn't even appear over the city, but when they left the city, they knew it would come back. They knew that God had ordained a light to lead them.
Hallelujah, God ordained a star under a certain sign to lead him to the Son of Man, to lead him to a little baby in a manger. But he was more than a baby. He was more than a prophet, more than a great teacher. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Now, I said this because I wanted to bring you somewhere. Amen, because we had a star arising this day. Amen. There were seven stars in the hand of him that, oh, hallelujah, that appeared to John in Revelation chapter 1. And there was a certain star. Look, there'd been other, there'd been messengers. There'd been reformers. Amen. But in this day, God is going to send a star. And it's a special kind of man. It's a watchman. At the end time when it's dark, amen, the night comes, but also the day. It's gross darkness in Laodicea over the people, but it's for us. It's the rising of the sun. That's why the prophet could preach in Shalom. He said, good morning. Is that right? This is my message to the bride. He said, good morning. Is that right? It's darkness for the people. Amen. God would send a watchman and he could look at the stars that were in the Bible and he could tell you the hour, amen, that he was in. Amen. A watchman could look at the alignment of the stars and say, this is the hour we're in. Look, Martin Luther didn't know his own hour. Wesley didn't know his own hour, but this man knew his hour. He knew their hour. He knew where he was at, amen, because he was trained and he was appointed and he was called for that purpose. And God give him a voice. God give him a shofar to cry out to the people. You say, well, all these people, you said the priests had shofars. That's right. The priests had shofars, but the priests didn't know what time it was. They weren't watchmen, amen. Their service ended when the sun set. Amen, but this watchman, he could come in the midst of darkness, amen. And that's why I said they all had a message. They all had a trumpet, but that didn't make them watchmen. But God sends a prophet, and he identifies their hour. He identifies his hour, and he's a watchman over the people of God, amen. And it's his voice. Why? He hears from God, and he's not speaking his own idea. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't get it from some man. He's just saying what he heard from God. You think about this, the prophet himself was born under a certain sign. Is that right? He tells a story when he was younger. He went and he was on a bus or something. I believe it was with a sailor and this and that. And he met this woman. She was an astrologer. And I find it amazing because just like in Jesus' day, they understood better who he was than the publican, than the Pharisees. Is that right? And she come up and said, do you know you were born under a certain sign? And he said, what's all this nonsense about? You don't know what you're talking about, this, that. So I can tell you exactly when you were born. She told him the date he was born. He said, how'd you know that? He said, if you can do that, tell me when this man was born. He said, I can't tell you when that man was born. He wasn't born under a sign, but you were born under a certain sign. The heavens aligned in a certain way at your birth, and you have a gift, amen? And she understood something about it because she said, well, haven't you been to the preachers about it? Amen. She understood that the calling in his life had something to do with God. And it's just like it was in the days of Jesus. She said, haven't you been to the preachers about it? And he's like, well, they're the ones that tell me it's the devil. I don't have nothing to do with preachers. Amen. He said, they're the last people that want to hear about it. They all say it's the devil. And it's the same thing that happened back then when they're out to kill the Son of Man and put him down. Amen. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, what are they going to say about the watchman? What are they going to say about you? Amen. They say, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's nothing but the devil. But you were born. Amen. You also were born again. You were born again under a certain sign. You were born again under not a denominational creed or a man's idea. You were born again of an incorruptible seed, even the word of God. And the word that that prophet spoke, it was the power of God unto salvation, amen, to show you, and you could rise up and say, watchman, what of the night? And you know what hour you're in. Well, there's darkness all around. There's voices everywhere. There's all kinds of lights and all kinds of impersonations. But you've heard from the watchman. He lifted up his voice like a trumpet. And you know exactly what hour you're in. I'm not guessing one bit what hour. Who's my messenger? What day am I living in? I know my day and its message because the watchman has declared it. It's not been an uncertain sound. It's not a bunch of confusion. It's thus saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Here's a woman practicing astrology, and she knew more about God than the preachers did. That's the truth, isn't it? Sometimes God will use an unlikely source to tell you stuff. I was testifying about this the other day. My son Nehemiah, when he was born, the Lord had shown me certain things about him. Prior to him being born, I told my wife and some people about it, and there is a man. He worked the same place I worked, and my brother-in-law knew him, and they associated somehow. And he was at his house one day. And this guy used to be in the occult, and according to his testimony, he'd stopped at that point. A little doubtful, but whatever. But anyway, this guy come over, and my wife was driving the baby to go to their house at the same time that one day, and this guy's there, and he said he could perceive auras and stuff. And he said, I seen, when my wife started pulling up in the driveway, he said, oh, I see this big aura coming in here. And so he thought, you know, what's this? And they looked outside, and they see my wife pulling up. She's coming with the baby. And the guy, it's funny because he's, you know, he's, I think he was into drugs too. You know, he's dabbling all kinds of stuff. But it's funny because he looked at him and he said, he goes, dude, it's the baby. Like that, like, I guess, you know, how they do. But that was my best impression. Good night, folks. But he said he looked at my son and said that what he was perceiving was my son. He said he was born a certain way and a certain thing was going to happen in his life when he was older. And he was saying the same thing that I said. I said, you know, he knows more about God than some people that study the Bible for years. Amen. And it's amazing because you get some, it's like Brother Bram talked about them preachers he went to visit one time and said, I had a better reception from a bunch of witch doctors, he said. Some of these preachers, amen, they're so cold, they're so formal, they're so into the history and the theology of the Bible. But when it comes to having the moving of the Spirit, when it comes to having the witness, to being able to say, I had an experience with God, I've been born again, God's done something in my life, I've got testimonies, God's done the impossible in my life, that's altogether foreign to them, amen? They sit there in their watchtowers, and they'll tell you all about what kind of a day you live in. They'll tell you all about God. They'll tell you, we've studied the heavens, we've studied the Bible, we've studied theology, we know all about it, amen? But they can't see the sign. And that sign, that one sign, that was what led him to God. That was what led him to Messiah, amen? So they claim to know a lot, but when it comes down to really seeing what God has done, they've got no idea.
Right.
Amen. I thank God for that. That same guy, he came and visited me, and he started saying some things to me. Like I said, I'm like, well, you know more about it than some preachers do. He said, you know, there's an angel that follows you. It's followed you your whole life. I'm like, well, I knew that, but thanks for telling me, amen? Amen. Brother Bram said, that's the proof of predestination. He said, every Christian, if they're born, he says, God appoints them an angel, and the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Well, I knew I had an angel, but I was sure glad he knew about it. Hey, that's all right. We're getting on board with this. We're going somewhere now. Is that right? God sends an angel to watch over his own. Now, it's not for the world, but it's for his. Amen? And I thank God for that. I thank God for an angel. I thank God for a gift in my life. God had a purpose. God had an appointment when I didn't want nothing to do with God, when I wasn't thinking about being a preacher, when I wasn't thinking about trying not to defile the gift. I wasn't thinking about these things, but God kept me from all manner of ungodliness. God kept me from these things. God placed me where I'm at tonight, amen? And I thank God for it. God preserved a gift, amen? But that's just me. Well, how much more with the watchman? His job is so critical. His job is so necessary, amen? Like I said, we all have a responsibility to watch and be sober, but this guy was responsible for everybody's life. These other messengers, they blew their shofar. That was their priestly duty. Amen. They were reformers. But this man was warning of something that the others weren't warning about. There was something that was going to take place in this day. Amen. There was a death that was going to go through the camp. Amen. There was something coming. The night comes, but also the day. There was going to be a breach. Amen. And in this breach, there was going to be a dividing of times. There was going to be tribulation for the world, but there was going to be light for the bride. There's going to be light in Goshen. Amen. And at this time, he's declaring, this is an hour. It's Laodicea for the world, but for us it's the bride age. It's the word age. This is the time, not of tribulation for us, but the time of the rapture. This is the time when God is going to come and take his people out of the earth. Amen? Look, these other men had talked about it, but here's a watchman saying, I know exactly what time he's coming. This is the hour. Amen? This is the time he's appointed to come. This is the hour to wake up from your sleep and be ready. Amen? This is not the time to go to sleep. When so many people are going to sleep, they hear the watchman say, well, man, I'm tired from all that partying. I'm tired from all that sin. I'm tired from all that nonsense. I spent all day doing nothing. I'm tired. I'm wore out from doing nothing all day. I'm wore out from watching TV all day. I watch sports all day. I'm tired. I don't want to get up. But if there is ever a time, amen, look at, that's why the prophet of God said God would take what? It'd take them seven unknown thunders to wake the bride. Look, denomination couldn't do it. Theology couldn't do it. But the voice of a watchman, a trumpet, the voice of God could wake a sleeping people out of their slumber because this was the hour to be awake. This is not the hour. Look, you were okay sleeping there, amen? They're sleeping now, is that right? But this is the hour to wake up, because this is the time to leave.
Amen.
This is the day of battle. This is the greatest battle ever fought. This is not a time to rest and be complacent. This is a time to prepare yourself for the day of battle.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
My, oh my. He sent a watchman because he intends, like the natural watchman, he intended to keep you, not to lose you. That's why he sent you a watch. Look, the watchman wasn't sent for the watchman. The watchman was sent for you. So if he sent you the watchman, why would you feel bad about a watchman? Well, I don't need the watchman. We don't need to listen to his tapes. We don't need to listen to all that. I've got my own ideas. I'll keep an eye out for the enemy. Look, you can't see what he could see. He's up higher. Is that right? I think Brother Bram, he talked about, I believe it was Leo Mercer had a dream. And you hope maybe you're familiar with it, but he had a dream of Brother Branham one night. He seen this pyramid, and he began to climb this pyramid and clear at the top of the pyramid. He's Brother Branham. He said he was standing on like a disc or something, a saucer of light. And he gets up there and says, Brother Branham, what are you doing up here? And Brother Branham said, no man can get up here except God appoints him. Yeah. Look, a lot of people tried to place themselves up here, yeah, even in this day.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I can speak for God. I can do this. I can do that. But he's not saying what this guy said. You know, if the watchman said, look out, danger's coming, the guy down here said, oh, you're fine, go back to sleep. I won't listen to this guy. I heard the shofar, amen? Look, nobody gets up there except God appoints him.
Amen.
He said, brother, nobody gets up here except God appoints him. But he says, but go back and tell the people you believe it's of God. Brothers and sisters tonight, I believe it's of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not worried about it. I'm not struggling with it, amen? I believe it's of God.
Amen.
My, oh, my. Tell you what, I'll read a scripture here back there in Ezekiel. You don't have to turn to it, but I'll just go over it for the sake of time here real quick. But back there in Ezekiel, we were talking about God told him. He said, if you don't warn the people, their blood's on your hands. Is that right? If you don't warn them, it's on your hands. He said, but when this happens, when the sword and the pestilence and the plague come, they'll know that God has sent these things. Amen. They might make fun of it now. They might doubt it now. But he says, but when it comes to pass, they'll know that God, I, the Lord, have brought these things to pass. And then he says this, and you, Ezekiel, you, son of man, you're the watchman. He says, unto them, he says, you're a very lovely song. Is that right? He says, they love to stand and hear your sound, the sound of your trumpet, amen? They love to hear it. It's entertaining to them is what it is. He said, unto them, you're a lovely song, and somebody that has a pleasant voice, and you play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, he says, but they won't do them. He says, they'll go and stand outside the tent and they'll laugh to one another, their brother, about it. Is that right? I want you to watch the attitude here. And he says it's because of covenants, because of their iniquity, they would do this. Amen. They hear the word. They hear the sound of the trumpet. They hear the message of their hour. But because it's inconvenient, because they have no desire for God, because they have other priorities, amen. They like to hear it, amen. It sounds good. It's entertaining, amen. And if we're not careful, we come to church, people come to church, and all it is entertainment. We come here to be entertained with worship and engage in the spirit of frolic, and church is just having a good time. And if I don't have a good time in church tonight, amen, if the pastor didn't stroke my ego and make me feel good, well, we just can't have church, amen?
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Well, I want them to entertain me. And people come and they want to be entertained, amen? And that's what it is. This prophet, it's a lovely song to us. Oh, we love the prophet of God. Oh, we love the message. We're going to do what we want still. But we love to go to church. We love to meet people. We love to talk to them. Amen. And it's just a lodge meeting. It's just a getting together of people. Amen. And God said this. He says, and when that comes to pass, and then he says this, lo, and it will come to pass, the people will know that I have sent them a prophet. He said, they shall know that a prophet hath been among them. Amen?
Sure.
All these things that come to pass, it's going to declare a prophet's been among them. Is that right?
Amen.
This watchman, his third responsibility, the third thing, what I want to draw to your attention tonight, as I was saying, is that this watchman's job, as I said, it was a critical importance. Amen? And this watchman, he had an ultimate responsibility, and with that came an ultimate price that he paid if he failed. Amen? This watchman, if he failed his job, he didn't get fired and go to the unemployment office the next day. Amen. If this watchman failed at his job, he didn't get demoted or get a pay cut. Amen. This watchman, if he failed his job, if there was anybody left to kill him, would kill him. Amen. If the army hadn't already killed him, the people would rise up and they would execute him for his failure to warn the people. Because his duty was so important that the people's lives were on his hands. And if he failed to warn the people, or if he gave them a false report, his life was forfeited for it. You know, people tell, you know, you see some people and they said, "Oh, I wish I had a minister like the prophets." I'm thinking, stars above, I don't. It's true, is that right? You think about this man, people lining up on his lawn every morning. People wanting him to prophesy to him and do all these things, amen. He wanted to be a trapper, he wanted to go do things with life, but God sent him as a watchman, amen. It wasn't up to him what he was going to do. Hey man, his mother-in-law tried to talk him out of it one time. You don't need to go warn the people. You don't need to be a watchman. Look, it wasn't a pay cut for him. He didn't lose his job. He lost his wife. He lost his daughter. Hey man, he's in Africa preaching one time, and the Lord tells him to go a certain way, and all the preachers said, "No, let's go over here." Sure. Amen. And about cost him, he was laid up for months. Is that right? About cost him his life. Brother Branham, it seemed, and we read his life story, amen. And so many people they stumbled at his life story, amen. I remember he's preaching his life story. I think it was 1959. He said, "When you read my," he says, "when I tell this story," he said, "I've made many mistakes." He says, "But I hope they'll be to you not stumbling stones, but stepping stones." And so many people they stumble and they stagger. They see this thing. Well, if God loved him, why did he die this way? And if God loved him, why did that happen to his family? And why this? Why that? Because he's a watchman. Amen. His slightest infraction was met with such a severe consequence. Amen. Losing his own family and these things. Why is it? Because it's so important for him to give the message. Amen. Look, I'm not trying to demean myself or something tonight, but there's many people tonight that preach the message, but there was only one watchman to declare it. Amen. And if he didn't declare it, we're all dead. Amen. We were not awake. We weren't looking for the enemy. We were sleeping. We were in our own sin, in our own darkness, in our own bed of iniquity. It took a watchman to bring us out. Amen. It took a watchman's voice to wake the people. Amen. Out of darkness. And if he failed, then you and I would pay the price for it. You and I. God had to have a watchman at the end time to have a people where we would all perish. Amen. Because there was no voice of warning. There was no other watchman. There was no other shofar blowing. Is that right?
Sure.
And so here he it's like I said, people want a minister like the prophets. And I'm like, why? If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Look, you don't have to keep watch all night. All you have to do is hear the shofar. You can get up just like the prophet. Oh, hallelujah. You can go out just like the watchman. Amen. There's been a place prepared for the watchman. And not just for him, but for all that hear the voice of the watchman. There's a place beyond the curtain of time for those that have heard the shofar. They've heard the trump of God. Look, you don't have to go through. Look, you don't have to wear an eagle belt buckle and go hunting every October. All you have to do is hear the voice. You get the same reward.
Amen.
He labored for it and you've entered into it. Now, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Amen. People that, why do they want to be like that? Why do they want to, they think there's some sort of honor from men. Amen. They want to be seen of men. They want some sort of prize here. Amen. I'm not looking for my reward here. Amen. You go to your closet and you pray in secret. God said, "I'll reward you." Amen. That's the kind of reward I'm looking for. Amen.
Amen.
I was talking to my girls the other day. I said, "You know what? I've laid up my treasure. Not here, but in heaven." Amen. I was telling Jan, I was like, "Jan is my treasure." She's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Because the Bible says that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. And I've laid them up there." How'd you lay them up there? By a token.
Amen.
Amen. Look, I might not be able to give them the best education. I might not be able to take them to Disneyland every year, but by God, I've given them an inheritance that fadeth not away. It's the message of the hour. It's the kingdom of God. And if I can't give them nothing else, that's all I have to get them to. Amen. I've laid up treasure somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. The watchman's warned me, don't lay your treasures down here. This is all going to get wiped out. It's all going to get destroyed. Place your treasures somewhere safe. I've heard the voice of the watchman, and I believe the report.
Amen.
It's life and death to believe the report.
Sure. Amen.
Oh, so many people hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lovely message. Oh, that's some good doctrine. Amen. Oh, that's people preach the message for all the kind of wrong reasons all the time. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
They did it in Paul's day. Sure. Paul said some preach the gospel for merchandise, some preach it out of contention. Yeah. Is that right? And I can say, Paul, I thank God that it's preached anyhow. Yeah, okay. But look, their motive, their objective is not always right. Amen. Sure. People will take the message and they've got all kinds of uses for it. Amen. But God intended you to escape this world. That was his purpose in sending it. Amen. Amen. My, oh my.
Hallelujah.
My. Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, the Bible tells a story about Miriam and Aaron. They went and they confronted Moses one day about his wife. And they go and the Lord smites her with leprosy. And he says this. He says, hear my words now. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. Why? He's a watchman who's faithful in my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord he shall behold. Amen. Look, he wasn't just getting a funny feeling here and there. He wasn't just guessing. Amen. We're talking dates and places and names and times and specifics. Amen. This prophet, he wasn't playing guessing games. Amen. This is a man like unto Moses, that God could speak to him like I'm speaking to you tonight. He could hear the voice of God mouth to mouth, ear to ear, lip to lip. Amen. This is not just an ordinary prophet. He's saying, look, Moses, he's not an ordinary prophet. He's a message. He's a special kind. He's a watchman. We've had one in this day. He wasn't just a prophet, amen? This is a special kind of prophet. This is a special kind of ministry. It wasn't just something that God gave us. It was the same gift that they saw there on the shores of Galilee. It was the same gift that the woman in the well saw, amen? The Son of Man revealed himself through this prophet like he did back there because he promised to do it, amen?
Amen. That's right.
This is not just another prophet. This is a special kind of messenger, amen? And he says this. He says, wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
Come on.
Amen? Now he's saying, knowing that this is a special kind of man, a special kind of ministry, more than just a prophet, you should have been afraid to speak against him. Why were you not afraid? Are you that clueless? Amen. And so it is today. When so many people speak against it, are they? Why? They should be afraid. Amen.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, what? Came the word of God unto you only, or came it from you only? If any man thinks himself to be a spiritual or a prophet, let them acknowledge that the words we have are the commandments of the Lord. Amen. I have a great gift in my life. God shows me things. I'm a prophet. I'm this and that. Well, and people claim these things, but if they're really submitted to God, they'll understand who the watchman is. Amen. Just like in Paul's day, they'll realize, look, this man's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a pastor. He's more than just an evangelist. This was God's man for the hour. This was the messenger. Yeah, this is the star that was in the right hand of him. Is that right? This is, and if you have a gift from God, you have to submit it to that gift. Amen. It can't go do its own thing. You're not going to supersede that or make that void. Amen.
Right.
And so many people, they've got a gift, and maybe it's just a preacher or whatever it is. Amen. And they think because I've got a gift, I can do my own thing. I'm not subject to all these things. But a real gift from God, if it's submitted to God, it has to submit to the watchman, amen? Because that watchman is the one that warned everybody, amen? The different priests and the different ones that wake up and warn the people, they all had to go back to listening to the watchman.
That's right.
Amen? It astounds me. I was talking about this the other day. This is why it astounds me. And I'm not trying to sound like youthful hubris or arrogance here. But it astounds me because the prophet warned us about so many things. And yet people fall right back into the same things.
Sure.
Well, hallelujah. This is the fun part of the sermon. Amen. He warned preachers about women, money, and popularity, but how many preachers have fallen in? Message preachers, amen. How many backdoor deals were made in hands exchanging money and exchanging lies and all kinds of nonsense and sin in the church and scandal, and they hide it and they try to pretend it's not there. The prophet warned them about these things, amen. We were warned about formalism and how it would defile the church, and yet formalism comes right in the church anyway. We were warned about fanaticism and what it would cause, but fanaticism comes right in anyway. And then we were warned to stay in the middle of the road. We were warned about all these things. We were warned about replacing a born-again experience by the baptism of the Holy Ghost with some sort of a thought or an idea or an intellectual faith. We were warned about it, and yet the people have gone right back and done it anyway. I'm not talking about the Methodist church. I'm not talking about the Baptist. I'm talking about the message of the hour. People that hear the prophet's tapes, and it's unto them a lovely song, but to really believe his words, amen? If they really believed him, why they fall right back into the very thing they were warned about?
Amen.
My, oh my. And it shakes me. Because I've seen message churches. I've seen people. I've seen preachers. Oh my. Things the prophet warned us about, and it goes on. And I'm not just talking about one or two people. Hundreds of people. Maybe thousands of people. And they all fall right back into it.
Sure.
And it shakes me because we ought to know better.
Amen.
We're the one people on the face of the earth that ought to know better.
Amen.
We were warned.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
We were warned to watch out for all these things, and yet they come right back in the church. The bars get down, the goats jump in, and nobody seems to be the wiser. And you watch, and forgive me, I'm not trying to sound critical of certain people or anything, but you watch people, and you watch ministries and churches, and they go on for years and years and maybe decades in the same nonsense, and it didn't work before. It didn't work before in the prophets' day. It never worked in the Bible. Why would they think it worked now? And they go on, and they do it anyhow, and it gets them nowhere. It's just a lovely song to them now.
Uh-huh.
It's just entertainment.
Sure.
Oh, it makes us feel good.
Right.
We know more than the guy down the street. That has nothing to do with it. Your enemy's coming in.
Yeah.
Amen. The trumpet came to warn you the enemy's here. Yeah. Don't go back to sleep.
Right.
Rise up and fight him now. Look, you have to make it to daylight if you want to make it to the rapture. Amen. You've got to stand up and fight. Amen. You're not going to ease your way in. This is the time to draw your sword.
Yeah.
This is the time to put your armor on. This is the day of battle. This is the time to back down or back up on the enemy. This is the time to cast him out. This is the time to chop him down. This is the time to kill him. Amen. And so many people, when they're afraid and they're fearful and they're doubting and they're on all kinds of nonsense, this is the day to fight. Amen. He said in the church book, if that church could discern and withstand that spirit that would defile the church, then Satan would be just as powerless.
Amen.
I mean, you have to withstand, amen? Look, that don't make you popular.
Right.
It don't make you everybody's favorite preacher, everybody's favorite Christian or brother or sister, amen?
Sure.
But it does make you victorious.
Yeah.
And that's all I care about, amen?
Amen.
So many people, you see it all the time. You see so many fair weather Christians, amen? Roller coaster Christians. My, they're when they're up, they're up. And when they're down, they're down. Some people, They go, and as long as they're encouraged, and I'm not against encouragement, obviously. I hope nobody thinks that, but if we go to church and we're getting encouraged, and people are patting us on the back. We love church, but as soon as we're getting corrected, as soon as we're getting told that's wrong, as soon as somebody said, well, the prophet said not to do that. Well, we don't like to hear that all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know about that. Well, that don't make me feel good. And then we'll get discouraged. And now we're going to stay home.
Yeah.
And we're not even going to listen to tapes, even though we love the prophet. We're not going to listen to tapes. We're not going to serve God. We're going to miss church. Well, I don't feel like a Christian. Well, I don't feel good. I got news for you. That had nothing to do with it. Amen.
Right.
I think a brother, I preached about here a while back, and I made a decision when I first became a Christian. And I found Brother Bram did the same thing. I read Charles Finney's autobiography one day. He did the same thing. Charles Finney, at the end of his life, he began to question, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm not right? What if I'm a deceiver? What if I've been wrong? What if I go to hell at the end of the day? When it's all over, he said, you know what? I determine whether I go to heaven or hell, I'm going to serve God anyhow.
Exactly.
If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to kiss his feet on the way down and praise him with my last breath. Amen.
Amen.
And when you get that kind of an attitude, then it don't matter how good you feel about yourself or, oh, did I do good to God? Did I do good today, God? Did I serve God well? Am I good? Am I bad? Am I going to make it? Am I going to not? That don't matter anymore. Because you're not praising him because you feel good or you feel saved. It had nothing to do with that. You're praising him because he deserves it anyhow. Amen. And if you're going to spend this whole life and at the end of the whole thing go to hell anyhow, you're still going to serve God because it's still the best life you could ever have. Amen. You've got a backbone. Amen. You're not backing up anymore. Well, you know, maybe God don't love me. Maybe he don't care about me. So what? Go serve God anyhow.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Can the clay say to the potter, why have you formed me thus? So many people, they get defeated because of their feeling. Well, I don't feel good enough. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I have nothing to do with it. Amen. I've got victory because I serve God. Amen. Because he doesn't lose. Amen. Whether I feel it, victory's not a feeling. Amen. People think they got victory when they feel good. That's not real victory. Amen. That's just enthusiasm. Amen. But victory is when you're staring down 1,000 devils at the end of a sword point and everybody's against you and there's 10,000 on my right hand and 1,000 falling at my side. I will not fear. I'll not fear the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that comes by night. I've heard the voice of the watchman. If nobody else is going to get up and fight, I'm going to go fight anyhow. Well, I'm tired. My back hurts. I don't know if I got my gear around here. Get out and fight anyhow. Amen. God called you to the fight.
Yeah.
Come on. It astounds me how people don't want to fight no more.
Yeah.
Well, I had a hard time. The devil's been hard on me. Oh, I went to church one time. Oh, it was bad. I had a bad. Oh, they didn't like me. They kicked me out. They don't like me there. I had a bad experience. So now I'm going to go sin the rest of my life and be backslidden and be lazy and worthless and not do anything for God. Amen. And I'm thinking, well, if you really feel that bad about it, you think you want to get up and give the devil back on?
Yeah.
Man, I said, people ain't got no, it's like I was saying something, people ain't got no fight left in them anymore. People just ready to give up. My God don't give up, amen. He didn't give up on me, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. People paid a price. And this is what I always remind myself when I get discouraged. People paid a price for us to be here tonight.
Amen.
To enjoy this air-conditioned church. And then wonderful air conditioning. To read our Bibles in English. Man was burned alive, amen. To enjoy our salvation, our Lord, I talked about on Sunday, He was forsaken for us, amen. But look, He ain't the only one that paid for it. Apostles were martyred.
Yeah.
Prophets were killed. They were sawn asunder. They were beat. This prophet, he paid a price, amen. He was rejected by all his friends. He lost family, amen. He lost friends. He paid a price, is that right? Men of God, women of God, amen. I used to read the Fox Book of Martyrs. I'm sure I talked about that here before, but you look at the price little children paid for the gospel. You look at the price that housewives paid for the gospel. You look at what people paid for this gospel. And people say, well, I've just gone through too much.
Yeah.
I just can't serve God anymore. Yeah. What a weak, worthless excuse.
Yeah. Right.
What a pathetic excuse.
Right.
To not serve God. Like He don't deserve it anymore.
Yeah.
Like He ain't deserving the praise. Like He don't deserve the glory. Well, I just don't feel like I can praise God anymore. If you've got breath, amen, you praise the Lord. You are commanded
amen.
To praise Him, amen. And so many people tonight, oh, we've gone through suffering and hardship. We've been rejected. So were they.
Amen.
And they stood the test of time. They were time-tested memorials. They didn't back down from a fight. They didn't get all wimpy and soft. Amen. They stood and they said, amen. Like I said, some people, they'll serve God when things are going good. Amen. But when they, I made a mistake or this happened to me, this or that. Amen. The Bible tells us my Lord set His face like a flint. Amen. Some people, I tell you what, what we call work ethic, amen? Well, I don't feel like doing it, I don't feel like, that doesn't affect my performance, amen? I was called to do a job, I'm going to do the job, amen? Because that's my job to do the job, amen? I've got responsibility, and you and I tonight, we have a responsibility. The watchman had a responsibility, he paid the price for his responsibility. What kind of responsibility do we have to our children? To our wives, to our husbands, to our families, to our churches, to each other.
Amen.
Look, the whole body has to edify itself, and we don't want to do our part, amen? The body needs you if you're part of it, amen? And you don't get an off day. My finger didn't take the day off today when it hurt, amen? It had to stick it out with the rest of me. That's the problem we keep thinking. We think of ourselves as a lodge, amen? As a group of people. We are a body, and we're either making it or we're not. We're the body,
amen?
And the body needs each other. It needs us. All the members, they need each other. My, oh, my. Hallelujah. I tell you what. People, I've probably said this before, but we know that God's our Father, amen? And I'm thankful that God's my Father, but sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that our Father's God. Amen? He's not just the sheriff of the county or just some great king somewhere. He's not the president of the United States. He's the judge of all the earth. And He's not a respecter of persons. Amen? And He's as awesome and marvelous and wonderful as He is terrible and dreadful.
Yes.
Oh, God is just so good. He's so loving to me. God wiped out an entire generation of people in the days of Noah. Every woman and every man, every child, every goat, and everything on the face of the earth that wasn't in that ark was wiped out. Because they heeded not the voice of the watchman. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, God's so good. It's like Brother Branham said, people, oh, God's a good God. He said, I'm so sick of hearing that all the time. Yeah, He is a good God, but He's also a God of judgment. He's a God of vengeance. Look, He's a God of vengeance. Is that right? Look, that's why you don't have to avenge yourself. He avenges you. He fights for you. Amen? Now, if you've seen how He fights for you, what will He do if you go against Him? Amen?
Ooh,
look, I've seen how well... Look, I was talking to Brother James even before service. I was talking about the ministry and just trying to be honest and straight with people. And you know, and I said, I'm not the best preacher in the world, maybe, or whatever, but I want to be honest with the people at the end of the day. Look, that ain't because I'm just such a good person. That ain't just because I'm so honest. I'm just honest to a fault. I'm such a goody two-shoes. It's because at the end of the day, I fear God. Amen. I realize what kind of a price I have to pay if I fail or if I misuse the gospel. And that's why I say it astounds me that men that know what the Bible says, that know what the message said, they'll stand right in the pulpit and lie to the people time and time and time. I'm not talking about just once or twice. For years, over and over again, and they'll lie systematically and deceive the people. And I'm thinking, where's the fear of God? Amen. Romans chapter 3 talks about it. Said, there's no fear of God. Well, there have to be no fear of God. If they feared God at all, they wouldn't do it. Amen. Look, even if I thought I could get away with it, I fear God too much to try to be that way. Because look, God's not deceived. My, oh my. So many people today, they get caught up, they're victims. Amen. They sit in churches and they're victims. Like in Jesus' day, there's victims. He told the Pharisees, look, you keep people from entering in. You've got a key and you keep people from entering in. Is that right? They're victims of a system that's taken advantage of them. They believed a false report. They believed a lie. And they're damned by it. Amen? And if they have to answer, if those men have to answer, we have to answer. Amen? Ezekiel had to answer. Amen? Well, I don't want to, you know, the message is becoming convenient for me. It's no longer popular. I've seen the tides and the whims of time changing. You know, it's just not for me anymore. Amen. Well, it's for me. Amen. It's for me. Look, time does not change who I am. Amen. I'm in a body of time, but I'm not a creature of time. I'm a creature of eternity. And the passage of time does not change who I am. This message is for me. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And I believe, like God told Ezekiel, I believe when it's all over, they might say a lot of things, but they'll know that God, a prophet, hath been among them. Exactly. They might not want to admit it now, but they'll know one day. Yeah, someday everybody's going to believe the prophet's message.
Amen.
Someday they're all going to believe it.
Yep.
Amen? They're all going to know, oh yeah, Malachi 4:5, I believe that. Too little, too late.
Yep.
Amen? I shared this tonight, and the burden on my heart, and I guess to tie it into Sunday, is because, as I said, prices were paid for this tonight. And if we're not careful, we will not necessarily make fun of or besmirch, but sometimes we neglect this great salvation. Sometimes we just get careless. We think, well, praise God, I'm saved. I believe the message. And we just think that's good. And we just want to sit on that. But God's called us to something tonight. And you see so many people, they're going back to sleep. So many people, they're becoming lazy, spiritually speaking. So many people, they just don't have that first love that they had anymore. Amen. We need it tonight. This is the hour we need it. Amen. This is the very thing we were warned about. And it astounds me how we neglect the... You know, if you told me that tonight at 12 o'clock something bad was going to happen at home, I wouldn't know. Do I get a fire extinguisher? Do I get the shotgun? Do I, you know, what do I do? But if you told me who was coming, when they were coming, what door they were coming through, what to use against them, I would think... In myself, I would prepare. I've been given every advantage in this situation to overcome my enemy. And we've been given every advantage. Why would we let it slip now?
Come on. Amen.
And that's like I said, even if you're not a watchman, you have a watch of your own. I have a responsibility tonight. Amen. I was talking the other day. I don't want to get into this too much for the sake of time, but My sister and brother-in-law, they had their little boy. They were going to Finley the other day. And they were driving up there to go to a dentist appointment, and they stopped in Bowling Green to get something to eat, and they had their little boy, Titus. And he'd fallen asleep in the van, and they took him in the restaurant. They stopped to get something to eat, and he was still sleeping. They're holding him. And they get in there, and they order their food, and he's still out. So my sister-in-law, Nicole, she takes him into the restroom, try to wake him up. And she realizes all of a sudden he's got a fever, like a bad fever. And he's not responding to her at all. His eyes roll in the back of his head. So they leave the restaurant in haste. They don't even take their food. They just they pay and they leave. And they're getting ready to go to the hospital. And they decide, we're going to pray before we go. We're going to pray right here. And I was talking to her. She was sharing it with me. They prayed right there in that car. And said, right there in that spot, God, healed him instantly. As soon as they got done praying, he sat up and his eyes focused. He said, I'm okay now. I'm fine. Wow. Just a little boy.
Sure.
And I thought, my God's the same.
Yeah.
And the reason I was sharing it, and I was sharing a testimony, I was actually sharing it, it was actually for Justin. I was telling her about it because he comes up a lot of times to get prayed for somebody. His stomach hurts. And I don't know, but he comes up for that. And the last time, not Sunday, but the time before I preached, I was sharing this with her. I said, I prayed for him and I got done praying. And Brother Kent knows about it. I talked to him afterwards. Something hit me all of a sudden. I got done praying for his stomach. Hurt my stomach all of a sudden. It felt like a man hit me. And I was trying not to couple over in front of all of you because it looked weird if I went like this all of a sudden, fell over. But something hit me. I really felt it. And then it moved to the other side. I never had something like that happen before. And I went and had prayer, and afterwards it went away. I haven't had it happen since. But I thought, our little children, this big, they're not exempt from the enemy. That watchman, those people, them soldiers, they weren't just fighting for their own lives. They were fighting for their little ones, their families. Look, if our little children are under that kind of attack, what kind of attack are we under? Amen? And I thought about it. I said, you know, even our little ones, they need the gospel. Right? They need this message. They need it. The powers of darkness, they're more wicked than they've ever been before. I had a dream, and I wanted to close with this thought. I hope this is all right. It's like Brother Branson, I'm not prone to being a fanatic, but, you know, I had a dream the other night, and I don't usually have a whole lot, but the Lord showed me something. I was in this dream, and he said that it was a rapture, not the rapture. He said, no. The reason why is because he wasn't, you know, wasn't trying to show me the day or hour, but it was a rapture. He said, in the dream, I'm standing there, and have you ever flown in a dream? Ever had that? Pretty fun. And I'm in this dream, but it's very vivid. And I hear a voice, and he calls me to come up higher. And I begin to defy gravity. Else, and I find myself floating above the ground. And I look down. And I've seen all my little ones and my wife. And I saw little Nehemiah. He looked at me, and he began to come up. And then I watched Virginia come up. And I watched Jana come up. And finally, there's little Moses. My wife's still holding him. He looks at me, and she scoops him up, and she begins to come up, and we all just get carried away. And I woke up, because that's what this message has done for us. It's a rapture for our souls, amen? We've already been caught up. We heard a voice say, come up higher, amen? And I thought, and I went to work that day, and I was trying to find things to do around nobody else, because I'll be honest, I wept like a baby the whole time. I was trying not to cry. But just to think of the grace of God to show me something like that. And I thought, if this is just the similitude, if this is just the type, if this is just the shadow, what's the real going to be like? And I was just so devastated by His grace and His mercy to think, there's a real rapture. It's already taken place in me, but one day, I'm going to be set free from this even. The watchman told me I could be free from this body of death. That the rapture, it's not just a made up thing. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. There really is a translation of the church. There really is a people, amen. And there really is a token. I don't have to go by myself like Enoch, amen. I can take my kids. I can take my wife. I marvel at the grace of God. And I think He's done so much for us. So many people have done so much. This is not the time to give up. Tonight we can inquire the watchman. What of the night? What is it? We know what time we're in. We know what day we're in. And knowing where we're at, and knowing what we've been warned of, let's not be slack concerning His promise.
Amen.
Let's not be dilatory, amen? I don't want to have to answer for idle time. And look, I've got lots of idle time, we all do. But I don't want to be guilty on that day of leaving something off. I don't want to be that one that buried his talent. I only got one probably anyway. But I don't want to bury what I got and have to answer for it, amen? I don't want to be found in that condition. I pray tonight that's your desire.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Because the ones that were faithful, look, you might have 5 talents, you might have 2. Whatever you got, if you're faithful with whatever He's given you, no matter how big or little it seems to you, as long as you're faithful, you get to hear those words.
Amen.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And my whole life is tied up in wanting to hear those words. Amen.
That's right.
Well done. Well done.
Hallelujah.
Stand our feet.
I'm just looking to hear him say, well done. You heard the watchman's voice. You made ready. You did what you were supposed to. Enter into the joy that I prepared for you. Well done. I just, the other day, we all know that story, but just I think it was yesterday, I was reading about that man that played that violin in front of that great crowd, but there was one man's approval he was looking for. Tonight, I'm not looking to be approved by some sort of council or by the world or politics. I just want to hear him say, well done. Amen. You played a good song. You kept with the beat. You kept with the symphony. You kept the spirit of the song. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we thank you, Father. Lord, in an age of many watchers and shepherds and different things, Lord, you appointed a watchman under a certain sign in this day. You give him a shofar, the trumpet of thus saith the Lord, to warn the people, Father. We've been warned. We've been made aware of the enemy and his desire to defile, to make us lukewarm and cold and formal and powerless. We preachers have been warned about the temptations. We Christians have been warned about the assault on our homes. But I'm thankful tonight there's a strong man in my house, that the enemy can't spoil my goods. He can't take my treasure, because I placed it somewhere far beyond the blue and the stars and the heavens. Oh Lord, tonight we're kept by the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I think of the price that a watchman paid. I think of his duty to the people. And Lord, I think of his reward, how you've blessed us with the promise that we could share it if we but believe the voice. Lord, may we not turn to the left or to the right. May we not be slothful but diligent as those who through faith and patience are partakers of the promise. Lord, may we give ourselves, our time, our livelihood, and we give ourselves to the kingdom of God, knowing that all the other nations and all the other kingdoms of this earth will fade and pass away and be consumed. But there's a place of eternal reward for our loved ones and for us to behold your face, to be with you forever. Lord, you've not made it hard. You made it so easy the fool will not err therein, you said. You've prepared a way through the message of the hour. Lord, tonight I don't want to find myself arguing with it or reasoning with it. I just want to find myself submitting to it in everything and in every ordinance, knowing that you appointed a watchman. Those seven stars were in your right hand, O God, right where your power was in your glory. I just want to surrender myself to your purpose tonight. Lord, bless the people, I pray. Keep them safe as they go home. Lord, the natural storm is no comparison to the storms of life that we face today, but I'm thankful that Jesus is in my boat tonight. Lord, if there's nobody else in the boat with me tonight, I'm glad you're with me. I don't have to fear anymore. Lord, bless us, we pray. We sure love you, Jesus. We sure thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Lord, you've done so much for us. Help me do a little something for you, I pray. Help us, Lord, we pray. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
die.
Jesus loves me. He who died.
Heaven's gates will open wide.
Heaven's gates do open.
He will wash away my sin.
He will wash away my sin.
Let his little child
come. Let his little child come.
Oh, yes.
Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Sing that chorus again. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
One more time. Songbooks. There is a fountain filled with blood
drawn from Emmanuel's grave, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all.
No more.
Be saved to of God. Be saved to sin no more.
Say that again. Be saved.
Oh, be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God.
How he brought me from the miry clay tonight.
Jesus.
I think of where he's brought me from.
Thank you, Jesus.
Where he's brought me to tonight.
Praise God.
What could we do but praise him tonight?
Hallelujah.
I pray
Jesus.
Tonight that
praise
your hearts
God.
Are settled.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you set your face like a flint tonight.
Hallelujah.
Though we have Jesus. Hardships and trials here.
Praise God.
Sometimes
praise.
We don't feel good. That don't matter.
Hallelujah.
We're going
Jesus.
Somewhere beyond all that. Amen. Our reward is so much greater than our light afflictions.
Praise God.
Not worthy to be compared.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We'll go ahead and get ready to dismiss tonight. If you give me the key of F. I should just put you in G. No, I'm going to do that anyway. We'll sing this tonight as you dismiss. I hope you're encouraged to do this tonight. 160 in your songbook. Oh, time
is filled with swift transition. God of earth unmoved can stand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal.
Yes.
Oh, hold God's unchanging hand.
Well, you've got to hold to God's
God's unchanging.
I've got to. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Glory to God.
Yes, Lord.
You don't have to stop now. You can praise him. It's okay.
Oh,
we're going to hold his hand. Amen.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise him. Praise him.
When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I know, I'll be in that number. Oh, hallelujah, when the saints go marching in. When the saints,
oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints, I know. Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Lord,
as we're dismissed tonight, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. The mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer's praise. Oh yes, He's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, and He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation.
inscribed on the book of heaven.
Oh yes, he's
wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me.
He's the counselor, the prince of peace, the mighty God. Yes, he is.
He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is his mighty Redeemer, praise his name.
Oh, is it
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Is it Jesus, my Lord, wonderful?
Oh, eyes have seen,
and ears have heard. Wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's the counselor, the prince of peace. Mighty God is he, and he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah,
praise
hallelujah.
God, praise.
God bless you tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey. I'm one of the few.
Oh, yes, I'm
one of the few. And by faith in God's word, I can claim it. Though the way may seem rough, I am the opposition strong. For the prize, there's a way provided,
and if I plan.